Praise the Lord. How many of you know we're in a battle? But we're the victorious ones. I don't care what the enemy says. I don't care what the circumstance say. We are the victorious ones. Amen. And God is totally and completely in control. It doesn't matter what you see. He's working all things out for your good and his glory. Amen. Now, you need to understand that the glory is going to fall in its fullness this fall. So you might be going through some trials and tribulations that you don't understand, but this is the final thrust before the glory falls. So if I was you, I'd keep on fighting. Hang in there like never before. And let the devil know that he's a liar and that you're the victorious one. And Father, I just thank you for everybody that came out this morning to sit in your presence. They came to dine with you, Father, and get fed fresh manna from heaven. So, Father God, right now, in the name of Jesus, open every ear, open every heart, and let them see, let them hear, and let them receive what thus saith the Lord. And Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the angelic host. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God has been trying to draw us close to him for quite some time now. In fact, I think he's been doing it so long that we should be there. He shouldn't have to keep drawing us. There's many things going on in the world, and if you really talk to each person individually, you would find out that things are going on in their life that they never thought they would ever have to endure. And it just doesn't come just one thing at a time. It comes 10 things at a time, right? And just when you think that you've overcome everything, here comes another battle. But we can't give up. We do not have the option to give up. We have to continue to fight. I entitled this morning, Draw Me. Now, Tiffany Ann Lewis wrote the following song. Draw me away to where we become as one, where there's nothing left of me and thy kingdom can come. I'm longing to decrease because I'm longing for more of you. Draw me, draw me, draw me, Lord, and I will run. Draw me, draw me, draw me, Lord, and I will run. Into your arms of love, here I come. Come and capture my heart, invade the corners of my mind, and kiss me with a kiss that sets my spirit aflight. I'm longing to decrease because I'm longing for more of you. Draw me, draw me, draw me, Lord, and I will run. Draw me, draw me, draw me, Lord, and I will run. Into your arms of love, here I come. Now, Tiffany said that when she wrote this song, she hadn't considered that the God of the Hebrews leads his children into the wilderness. The God of the Hebrews leads his children into the wilderness. Therefore, she sang this song with all her heart, and like young lovers do, she ran hard after God, only to find herself where? In the wilderness. Can you identify? Dazed and perplexed, she wondered why this was happening. She tried to console herself with the story of Exodus, remembering that the only way to the promised land was through the wilderness. And on a day that she desperately needed to know that all the promises of God in him are yes and amen, this is 2 Corinthians 1:20, the Lord spoke to her spirit, telling her that was not the purpose for this journey. Here we go with that me, 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 me thing again, right? She said that in her pain, she became so focused on God's promises being manifested that she almost missed the purpose of this passage. And Matthew 4:4 says, that you may know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. It's the reason for your wilderness experience. And Deuteronomy 8:2-3 says, makes the purpose very clear. And you shall remember that the Lord your God, led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. See that? He led them in the wilderness to humble them and to test them and to find out what was in their heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. The body of Christ is so fragmented. It is not on course at all. It doesn't understand the word. Therefore, it blames God every time something goes wrong. Right? The Hebrew word used here for humble is anah. This word is used in many different ways. It is used in a typical sense, meaning humble, meek, poor, weak, afflicted, and so on. It's also used to signify a response of some sort and means to answer, respond, testify, speak, shout, and even sing. More stunning to me was yet another meaning of this word, which is to be occupied or busied with. That's the word humble. This suggests that while God does use affliction to bring humility, the purpose is not to humiliate us, but rather to cause us to be occupied or busied with him and him alone. It is only a tool that God uses so that we will be occupied with him to concern ourselves with him. See, the body of Christ wants to sit on the seat of authority, you know, where they're seen and heard and known, but they don't want God to humble them. And without being humbled, you never have character. And this is what God is trying to produce in his children, is character. This brings a whole new meaning to Hosea 2:14. And now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start all over again. I'm taking her back out into the wilderness where we had our first date, and I'll court her. I'll give her bouquets of roses. I'll turn Heartbreak Valley into acres of hope. She'll respond like she did as a young girl those days when she was fresh out of Egypt. Notice the prophet tells us a sequence of events that will occur. First, the bride will be allured into the wilderness. Second, she will be spoken to by God. Third, she will be given vineyards and valley of Achor. Achor means trouble, which would be as a door of hope. And last, but certainly not least, she will sing, shout, and testify. She will rejoice there while she's in the wilderness. So, do you understand that God has to keep taking you back into the wilderness to draw you closer to him? He knows you. He knows all about you. And so he knows when you're straying away from him. So he'll take you back into a wilderness experience. And instead of us rejoicing at this, we fight it. And we question God, why am I here? You're here because you was getting prideful, getting anxious, all the things that the body of Christ does. So God had to get your attention, so he brought you back into the wilderness. I don't know why, but last night I was studying. I remember a young man who, he was 17, he started ministry. And you could tell he was just fresh and new. And it wasn't a year later, that boy, he had a big congregation and he was on fire for God. He was on fire for God when he first started. But see, even though he went through many, many trials and tribulations in that year, and he had every reason in the world to quit, but he didn't. He stuck in there, and now God has given him a huge ministry, and the boy is so anointed. What happens with you whenever God doesn't do what you think he should do? You leave him, or you sit and, you know, you question him. You never really keep going forward. you always either sit still or go backwards, right? And what God wants us to do is keep going forward. He told me years ago, he said, daughter, he said, you have to return to your first love. I was knocked off my feet. I didn't know I left. And I said, God, I said, show me what I did wrong. But I was slowly but surely listening to man's voice of what I should or should not do. And it was drawing me away from the truth of what God wanted me to do. So I had to shut off man's voice. I had to get back in with God and hear God's voice and God's voice only and proceed forward. There's always going to be somebody in the group somewhere along the line that's going to try to tell you that you're not doing God's will. This is why I tell you, you have to know that you know that you know that you're God's child and that God has called you, or you're not going to make it. And it's the body of Christ that will try to destroy you or your own family. All right? Now, the Lord is a jealous lover. He's not trying to beat us down and reduce us to a pile of smoldering ashes, but he is drawing us again and again to our first love. And Hosea 2:16 says, and it shall be in that day, says the Lord, that you will call me my husband and no longer call me my master. See that? Fresh new start. Fresh new love affair with God. And then all the glory falls. While our hearts rejoice at this prospect, we are also painfully aware that this humbling is done through the test, trials, and temptations that we encounter here in the wilderness. We read in Matthew 4:1 that Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. You hear that? Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Don't you believe that God's Holy Spirit is taking you into the wilderness at times? You have to understand that God's in control of your life. And he tells us in his word that the Holy Spirit will lead God and direct us. And so his Holy Spirit is working for God. And he's doing what God's telling him to do to us. And it's for our benefit. It really is. This wilderness experience, you know, when you can really rejoice in your wilderness, you know you made it. I'm serious. When you can rejoice in trials and tribulations and tests are taking you over, you feel like it, and you can rejoice, you made it. And you're just going to go through everything just fine. You'll kick and scream every now and then, but you know that God's taking you there, and you know you need to be there because he's trying to teach you something new. So you can go forth and minister for him. This is where it gets difficult because in our weakened state, we become vulnerable to the devil's lies. We may become desperate and try anything in order to get our prayer answered, or worse, we may lose hope and just give up the fight. Right now, there's many in the body of Christ are in that position. They've lost hope and they're giving up the fight. Is that you? Are you still persevering? Are you still pushing with everything you have to get through? Are you still understanding that God has you by your hand and he's leading you through the wilderness just like he did the Israelite children? You know, if you're a true minister of the gospel, you're going to have to know all this and you're going to have to understand it and keep it in your bosom or you're not going to make it. I've just gone through some terrible times of my life in the past year. And I thought I wasn't going to make it. But I just kept remembering what my father has told me. That is what will see you through. Remembering the words that God spoke to you. I think that was in the word he put out this morning, wasn't it? There are so many right now in the body of Christ in the wilderness and are wondering if they're going to make it through. Is that you this morning? You're going to make it through. It's just, you're going to make it through. But you have to determine that you're going to make it through. You know, the devil's just not going to say, oh, well, I guess I'll let her alone or him alone. No, he's going to fight you. And you have to let him know, I'm going on. You know, that song there sometimes, I don't think it's just speaking to unsaved. I think it's speaking to the body of Christ. Well, welcome home. Welcome home, God's saying to us every day. Welcome back into his chambers. I'm just telling you what I'm hearing God say, all right? Just welcome back into his chambers where you're going to be fed fresh manna from heaven. All right, so if you are one of those, I have good news for you. First of all, you're not alone. A whole nation is there with you. We all experience it because we are all led through this way of the wilderness. How many times has God said to you, you're not the only one in the boat? First time he said that method. You know. We're all, you know, if you look around about you, if you really listen to what the body of Christ is saying, everybody's going through a lot right now. I mean, it's a lot. It's just like one. It's not little things. It's big things. You know, and, you know, like my daughter and I, we were sitting on the step the other day and talking about everything in the world has gone wrong in the house this year, this summer, you know, and everything we work on is hard. You know, it's not hard, but it's hard. You know, so everything's going wrong. And somebody called me on the phone yesterday and they were saying, what's going on? Everything's going wrong. You know, and everything, I don't know about you, but everything is going wrong. It just seems like it's just one thing after another. See, you're not alone. You're not the only one in the boat. If you look around about you, you'll find you have a whole congregation in the wilderness with you. God, open up my spiritual eyes and let me see these other people around here wandering around. Secondly, the God of the Hebrews has destined us to cross over. This is why we're going to make it. The God of the Hebrews who has destined us to cross over. The phrase, the Lord God of the Hebrews, is a title that God gives himself in Exodus 3:18. And he says, believe me, they will listen to you. Then you and the leaders of Israel will go to the king of Egypt and say to him, God, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. The same God that led the Israelite children is the same God that's leading you and I. You know, we're living the Bible. Do you understand that? We're living the Bible. And that's why the Bible was written. So when we get in these straits, we can look back and say, oh, okay, so it happened way back then too. And if you read the Bible, it happens all through the Bible. How many of you, when you're reading the Word, you say to yourself, there's nothing new under the sun? This stuff has been going on since the Bible's been written. And so, I don't know why you're getting so perplexed. It's nothing new. It's been going on. Hebrew is not just a language. Hebrews are people. So when he's on the God, the Hebrews, all right, he's our God. The Hebrew word for Hebrew is, thank you, which means one from beyond. It is used to describe one from beyond the Jordan. It comes from a root that means to cross over, to pass over, through, or by. And by calling himself the God of the Hebrews, the Lord is declaring that he was, is, and forever will be the God of all who cross over. This word is indirectly tied into the temptations we will experience along our journey. God spoke to us, I think, 2 years ago and said it's crossing over time. Now, if you crossed over, God crossed over with you. And he is with you, and he is leading, guiding, and directing you. You just feel like you're out there all by yourself. I keep remembering the prophets, and I'm the only prophet left. And God said, oh, you're not, you know. You know, and you're not the only one that's going through the mess that's going on right now. God's trying to train you people to be strong towers that the unsaved can come to. We are not here just playing around. We are here to become strong towers, walking in the truth of God's word, so that when the unsaved come to you, wherever you're at, could be anywhere, you can, the anointing will be there for you to minister to them and give them hope and bring them into the kingdom. See, you were not born just to float through the life. You were not born just to be happy, 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 happy. You were born with assignments. In other words, you have souls that you have to win. And yet to be like Jesus, forget about yourself. You have a job to do. All right? Matthew 4:1, we read that Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. All right, the Greek word for tempted here is parazo, speaks of a strong internal conflict. Are you listening? A strong internal conflict, and carries the idea of trying / testing a person for the purpose of ascertaining his quality, are you listening? Or what he thinks or how he will behave himself in the trial. Are you listening? Are you really listening? God is testing you to show you, he already knows how you're going to react. He's showing you how you're going to react when you're in a trial or a test or a temptation. This is not for God's benefit, it's for your benefit. He wants you to see that you're not as strong as you thought you were. And then he doesn't leave you there, then he strengthens you so you can do the great works he wants you to do. It's interesting to note that this word is derived from the word piero, which means to pierce. This reveals the depth of the trials and temptations that we will encounter. Now, how many of you in here this morning, just think to yourself, God has taken you to a place of tests and trials that you thought you were not going to make it. But then God showed you, you have the strength to go through it. He spoke to you through prophetic word and encouraged you to keep on going, that you had a job to do. Right? Do you think me sitting up here has been fun for 40-some years? It has not. I've had more people come against me, more people say I'm of the devil than you can shake a stick at. But, and the church has fallen down to 4 or 5 people many times. But I press through. I know what my assignment is. I know what the end result is all about. It's souls. Are you listening? It's not a big building, in which God already promised us. It's not a huge bank account, which God told us he would prosper us. It's all about souls. If you get your mind on souls and off of your other prideful issues that you go through, you're going to make it, and you're going to do all the things that God's called you for to do. We have somebody in here this morning that she's walking this thing out all by herself. And she's believing and trusting God. Everything he said for her family is coming to pass. I pray for her often because I know it's hard. You know, when you're married and have children and you're the only one serving God, and God's given you all these promises and 5 years have gone by and you don't see an answer, right? And I was praying this morning and God put in remembrance, somebody wrote me a letter years ago and said, every word you ever spoke over my life has come true. Took 10 years. But she said every single solitary word had come true and she was excited. And God had told her she would have a business and she started a business and it was prosperous. So it might not happen overnight, but then, you know, God also told us recently that he doesn't have 10 years to bring anything to pass anymore. So your loved ones aren't saved. Are you giving up on God, or, you know, because you're being tested right now? And that's talking to anybody, because I have loved ones that God's promised me they'd be saved and they're not. Mine are all backslid, though. They're prodigals, right? So, and he said, the prodigal's coming home. Do I believe that? Yes, I sure do. What do you believe? Do you really believe God's word when he speaks to you? You know, he speaks to you through his word, you know, not only prophets. All right, where am I? The path to the full revelation of this word continues. I pray this will give you as much hope in the trial as it does for me in mine. It gives me a lot of hope, knowing that God is with me. God has given me promises, and they're all yes and amen. Our tests, temptations, or trials is connected to the word, okay, which means beyond on the other side. That's the crossing over. God crossed over with us, and he is on the other side with us. Quit forgetting that. You know, God's words, that every word he speaks is yes and amen. He's not a man that he should lie. I know he's spoken out over many people's lives that he's used me to minister to. I'm not a man that I should lie. And what I'm telling you is the truth. But that doesn't even convince people sometimes. Notice that this definition is the same as what it means to be a Hebrew, to be one from the other side. But here's the thing. It is through the word piero, which means pierce, that all these words are connected. All right? It's an incredible picture, really, revealing that even though our trials may pierce us, emotionally and or physically, we are going to the other side. Why? Because we are sons and daughters of the God of the Hebrews. Do you understand that?
Hallelujah.
Whoever said that, thank you. You know, we are sons and daughters of the God of the Hebrews. All right, so if you're going to start a ministry, how are you going to convince others that what God says is real, or if you can't believe it? You can't. I thank God for every trial and tribulation he's brought my way, because I've lived it, and so I can preach it. Are you understanding that? What you live, you can preach. Because you've been there, you've done that, and you know that the God of the Hebrews brought you through it. All right? So quit fighting God when he's taking you through a trial and a tribulation. Do you understand what we're really going to be facing when the gross darkness truly does hit the land? Do you understand what kind of people is going to be coming into your churches? Not saved. They're going to be very worldly, very unsaved. Are you worldly or are you saved? And I don't just mean saved. I mean sunk in the rock saved, you know, where nobody's going to be able to move your feet. And you're going to be able to stand up to people, and you know, the Holy Spirit's going to be with you, and you're going to have a backbone of steel and a forehead of flint, and you're going to be able to tell that devil that's trying to rule their life where to go and what to do. All right? Okay, hope in the wilderness. We are taking a journey through the way of the wilderness, heading toward the land that he promised us. Now, as I was studying this, one thing God said to me, I told the people to cross over, but they turned around and went back over. So that's why some people are going through the problems they're going through, is because it didn't say crossed over, they went backwards. Now you're going to have to cross over all over again. Now, you know, I didn't want to do that, so I stayed on my side. When I crossed over, I stayed there. I didn't want to have to go through all that mess again to get over here again. Are you understanding this? However, we are living in the present and have an adversary that would rather have us just give up and die. I've talked to Christians who are saying that to me. I'd just soon die as to go through this any longer. I just don't think I'm going to make heaven my home. I've been to hell, guys. I would not make that statement. You do not want to go to hell when you die. You don't. Really don't. I know there are times when we don't see the miracle manifested, and it's all these times that our faith needs supernatural support. I believe we can find that supernatural hope as we look at the equivalent word used for test or tempt in Hebrew. God's Letters of Light. Now, I was watching something on my computer yesterday. That little boy that's 10 years old and he's in college already. I don't know if you've heard of him or not. But they were interviewing him, and he said, it's the little kid that's going to bring the light back to the church. 10 years old. I listened to him. I said, that boy has more wisdom than 100 people. And he was telling how God was going to use the little kids to get the church back together and get the world, you know, get the lost saved. And isn't that what God's been telling us, though? That he's going to use the little kids to do it. And that little boy, I mean, he was better than any grown-up I heard up there talking. I got all excited. We have little kids, don't we? I'm excited that my two boys are going to be right there in that group leading others to Christ. Right? God said, bring them up in the way of the Lord, and they won't depart from it. So it doesn't matter what they're doing right this second. When the glory drops, they'll be doing a whole lot of different things for God and not what they're doing today. All right, the Hebrew equivalent to the Greek word is N-A-C-A-H. Yeah. Let's look at the Hebrew word Naka to see the beautiful spiritual picture the letters paint and find the supernatural hope that will see us through the wilderness. We're going to have to, I'm there. I have to have supernatural hope and faith that I'm going to make it through this mess that's going on around about me in my life. And if you're honest, if you're really honest, you're going to say too, there's a whole lot of mess going on and my faith has been sorely tested. And I have to grab a hold of every promise that God has given me. I have to repeat them over and over and over again to get the devil to stop. Now, you don't have to be honest with us or yourself. You don't have to be. You can sit there and act like you have it all together. But I guarantee you, you don't. You don't, because God said the body of Christ didn't. And I believe him. All right, this word is spelled with three Hebrew letters, Nun and S-A-M-E-C-H and Hey. Yeah, thanks. Nun, the sages say that the Nun represents God's faithfulness. The Nun also represents seed and life. And through this letter, we can see that God is faithful. And God did not lead you to this wilderness so you could die there. He in Philippians 1:6 says, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. How many of you has God ever spoken that to you? I mean, not to a person, but personally spoken to you and said, what I've begun, I'm going to finish in you. You know, he's there with you. I have to give this testimony. I was laying on my kids were in New York with my daughter, and I was all alone, and I was laying there praying about my health issues, and I said, God, I can't die. I have to live, and I have to raise these two boys. And God said to me, Jimmy, do you know how much I love you? For those who don't know it, when I was born, my daddy wanted a boy, so they called me Barbara, but he always called me Jimmy. And my brothers and sisters called me Jimmy. And you know, those really super close to me called me Jimmy. Everybody else called me Barbie. So when God said to me, Jimmy, do you know how much I love you? I lost it. He's never said that to me before. Years ago when I was first born again in the 70s, I was at a prayer meeting and I was praying and some young man tapped me on the shoulder. He said, Barbara. And I said, yeah. He said, do you know how much God loves you? So I said, well, sure I do. He said, no, you don't, but one day you will. And the other night when he called me that name, I knew how much he loved me. And I know he loves me so much deeper than that. God loves you. He loves every part of you. None of us are perfect. We all act dumb at times. We do foolish things, but God still loves you. He is the only thing that will love you in all of your imperfections. No human will. but God will. I don't have nowhere. Well, what he said, if I'll finish what he did, then he said, you're not going anywhere because you have a works to do for me. That sealed it. I'm not concerned about anything about my health. God said it, and it's going to happen. You don't need a man to love you. You don't need a woman to love you. You know, if you're, I'm talking about husband and wife now. And you don't even need your children to love you because some children don't love their parents. You have God. And that's really all you need. Anything else that loves you is just to add a little bonus there. Right? So why do we get so strung out if people don't love us? God loves us, and that's all that matters. Done lost my place again. All right, S-A-M-E-C-H represents God's support. It actually means to lean, lay, rest, or support on God. It is a letter that looks like a circle which has no beginning or end and can be seen as the heart of God where one can be protected by the strong outer circle. It looks like a hug as the arms of God encircle and support us. What has God been saying? Come into my bosom. Come into my everlasting arms. You know, he invites us over and over and over again to come into that love. It looks like, well, where am I here now? Okay, it looks like a hug as the arms of God encircle and support us. Also, considering we are talking about trials in the wilderness, it's interesting to note that the letter Samek also represents the sukkah, the tent that the children of Israel lived in as they traveled through the wilderness. God's love is just dropping in this room right now. Just grab hold of that love. Just let it saturate you. Some scholars say that the middle letter of a word, represents the heart of the word, which in this case is the letter Samek. Notice that it is the nun, the faithfulness of God, that brings us to the Samek, the support of God. The Samek in turn brings us to our last letter, Hey. Hey, the Hebrew letter Hey means behold, and represents the vital breath of God. Is this how Jesus could say, thy will, not mine, be done? Is this the breath that filled the Apostle Paul when he prayed three times, yet the thorn remained? In other words, no matter what's going on in your life, we serve a God who loves us, and we need to serve him no matter what state he has us in. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Perhaps because the letter Hey has a numerical value of 5, the number of grace, God's love does not disappoint us. Man's does, but God's doesn't. Romans 5:5, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. God's love does not disappoint us. We may be disappointed because what we were praying for didn't come to pass, but even our disappointment, God's love is there for us to comfort, encourage, and give us the strength to carry on. And Psalm 42:11 says, hope in God, for I shall yet praise him. Have you read lately what's going on, how the Christians overseas are being tortured and killed? They won't give up their faith, no matter what, because they know God is with them, and they're dying. They're being tortured. They're being shot. They're being massacred, but they're still saying, I'm not giving up God. If somebody looks at us crosswise, well, I'm quitting the church now. You're quitting God is what you're doing, not the church. You have not yet learned to press through your tribulations. In our test slash betrayal, our faith leads us to the center of his heart. And we receive the breath of God, the grace to carry on. In our test slash trial, our faith leads us to the center of his heart. And we receive the breath of God, the grace to carry on. Do you really? I want you to think about this. Do you really? Because this morning God has drawn us closer than he's ever drawn us before. He said, I want my children to be so a part of me that you can't see me or them separate. We are one. And I don't see that in the body of Christ, do you? Hopefully you young kids can bring that to pass. By young kids, I mean you older young people back there too. Or us older people couldn't get that to happen. No matter how hard we tried, we preached and did everything else. That's why God has left the church and he's going out into the world to bring the people in. He's going to clean them up overnight, and he's going to use them to carry on the message of salvation. Here in the midst of our wilderness, when the wind has been knocked out of us, by the grace of God, we receive our second wind. And this is what God's trying to do to us this morning. Give us a second wind. Give us the courage to keep on going in the midst of this very trying, troubled world we're living in. And he's trying to get us to be so full of hope that we'll bring hope to everybody else we come in contact with. As we reside in the center of God's heart, we can hear it beat with a love that would rather suffer and die than live without us. As we reside in the center of God's heart, we can hear it beat with a love that would rather suffer and die than live without us. This doesn't mean that everything is going to be all sunshine and daffodils, but it does mean that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, absolutely nothing. Either saved and then they're saved. You know that, don't you? We're saved, right? We're sanctified, full of the Holy Spirit. Aren't you glad you are? Aren't you glad you decide to let go of the things of the world and just sink your teeth into the meat of God's Word? Isn't it a good life? You know, when the world out there thinks they're having a good time, they're not having a good time. But we're having a good time, right? Even in the midst of our trials and tribulations, we're singing, dancing, and rejoicing. And you all did a good job of that this morning. Where am I at, Nancy? The Lord has been leading his bride into the wilderness. Knowing what you know now, will you follow? Will you sing, draw me, and run after him? Will you allow him to cause you to be occupied with only him? If your answer is yes, hang on. Because this life is a wild ride through the wilderness. Keep your hands and legs inside the moving vehicle at all times. Hasn't God said, hang on, because you're going for a ride of your life? And then he's been prophesying that to quite a few people lately. It's going to be something so exciting. You're going to be so glad you hung on. You're going to be glad you didn't give up. We've all had many, many opportunities to give up, have we not? But you're going to be so excited, you won't be able to stand yourself. God keeps telling me that, daughter, you're going to be so excited, you won't know what to do and won't be able to stand your own self. The joy of the Lord's going to be our strength, right? Aren't you excited about that? And you, while everybody's waiting, looking at you, have you gone crazy? Now I've just fallen deeper in love with my Father. And this is a result. A joy-filled life in the midst of trials and tribulations. You ready to pronounce the words? stay in the very heart of God, nestled underneath the shadow of His wing. Yes, we have been in the wilderness, and yes, there were trials and tribulations that threatened to overtake us. But be encouraged, for we were destined to cross over. The God of the Hebrews will see to it. Now, we weren't only were in all these things, we still are in all these things, but we crossed over. What happened to the Hebrew children when they went into the promised land? They had to fight the giants, didn't they? So why do we think we can cross over and do nothing? Do you ever stop and think of really what the word's really saying? You know? It was Joshua even said we can even defeat the giants. It was Joshua, wasn't it? So are you saying I can defeat the giants as a crossover? God knows you can, or He wouldn't ask you to cross over. And He knows that you, that you trust Him. Do you know that you trust Him? God knows that you trust Him, but do you know that you trust Him? God knows more things about us than we know about our own self. And when you think that you aren't trusting God, yes, you are. You just haven't realized it yet. He'll give you a good slap one day and wake you up. And you know, then you'll write, oh, okay. It was there all this time, right? Well, this morning, God's asking you to draw near to Him. Nearer than you've ever been before. And then He's telling me the anointing in the pulpit is to draw you so close to Him that nothing else is going to matter in life anymore. You're going to lose all your desires for all these worldly things. And I don't mean sinful things, just worldly things. Okay, well, I wish my son would talk to me. I wish my daughter would talk. You're going to forget about all this stuff. And all you're going to do is be concentrating on your love affair with God. And God told me it is a love affair. God's saying you have to be inside and outside Christ-minded. In other words, everything you do consumes the fact that you are one with God. Mary's going to go home today and they're going to say, what happened to you? Because she's going to be so happy. She's going to be singing and dancing, and they're not going to know what to do with her. Because she's finally got so close to God that nothing else matters. You understand this? You can look at those around about you, say you divorce me if you want to. You can drink yourself silly if you want to. You can drug yourself silly if you want to. I don't really care because it's just me and God. I had to come to that in my family because it was ruining me being concerned about them all the time. So one of my family said last night, what's your problem? I said, I don't have a problem. You do. You're not concerned about me. I said, no, I'm really not. Because I gave you over to God because you were killing me. Or do you understand that? We can hold on to people. They don't want to help themselves, and they're killing you. Spiritually, physically, mentally, however. Are you ready to give all that up and just be drowned in the love of God? The altar's open for that this morning.